several names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My name is Ralph Christian, and welcome to Life-Giving Word. This message today is entitled, God's Life-Giving Word, the Holy Bible. All of the following scripture references are taken from the authorized King James Version of the Holy Bible. We begin this message in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, where in verse 19 it says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. That sure word of prophecy is God's life-giving word, the Holy Bible. The Bible is not an ordinary book. How can an autobiography of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, be ordinary? Although the Holy Bible appears to be written by man in a natural format, in reality, it was transcribed by man, but authored by Almighty God supernaturally. The word author means one who creates or brings into being, a creator, an originator, especially the writer of a book. The word transcribe means to make a written copy, to write out from notes as a stenographer transcribes a dictated letter. Picture this illustration. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, dictating his life-giving word from heaven above to the earth below, employing man as the stenographer who transcribed it into the number one book of all times called the Holy Bible. Therefore, God's life-giving word, the Bible, was transcribed by man, but authored by Almighty God supernaturally. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, confirms this biblical truth. Listen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Bible, as we have come to know it today, is actually the Word of God spoken through holy men as they were moved by God the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake about it, these were holy men, chosen vessels of God, who rightly discerned the Word of God as it was spoken through their individual spirit directly from God the Holy Ghost himself. Just as the Holy Ghost spoke through the individual spirit of those holy men in years past, likewise, the same Holy Ghost speaks to believers today through their spiritual writings. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said while praying for the apostles in the Gospel according to John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Which leads me to another important biblical truth. God's life-giving word, the Holy Bible, is spiritually discerned from the spirit of the living God to the spirit of mortal men. Listen very closely as the Holy Ghost speaks through the Apostle Paul to the brethren at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 14 says, But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To the natural man, the Holy Bible is foolishness, because its words are a mystery unto him. He cannot understand it, because the Word of God is not intellectually discerned. However, to the spiritual man, the Holy Bible is a supernatural revelation, because its words reveal the mysteries of God. He can understand it because the Word of God is spiritually discerned and revealed to him by the Holy Ghost, God himself. As the scripture said, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Therefore, It is not through the intellectual understanding the natural man receives from his human mind that rightly discerns the word of God. That in itself is worldly knowledge, which produces eternal death through the fatal cancer of false doctrine. Rather, it is through the supernatural revelation the spiritual man receives from the Holy Ghost that rightly discerns the word of God. This in itself is godly wisdom, which produces eternal life through the life-giving word of God. You know, the Holy Bible is the umbilical cord to life in the spirit and fellowship with Almighty God, our Creator. Now, in the second epistle to Timothy, in Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, it says this: Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All the theological and educational degrees obtainable in this world become totally impotent when it comes to rightly discerning the word of God. Yet one ordinary believer who has been spiritually born of God needs no degree at all when it comes to rightly discerning the word of God, because the indwelling Holy Spirit of God guides him into all truth. As the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel according to John, chapter 16, verse 13, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth will do exactly that through God's life-giving word, the Holy Bible. As Jesus prayed in the Gospel according to John, chapter 17, verse 17, he prayed this: Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's move on now to Paul's second epistle to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16, where it reads, All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration here means God breathed, which is actually the breath of God's Holy Spirit. Therefore, all scripture is given by the breath of God's Holy Spirit. How glorious it must have been for those holy men of God who were inspired by the breath of His Spirit. They were able to speak His word as they were moved by God the Holy Ghost. Let's think about this miracle for a moment. Imagine being moved by the breath of God's Holy Spirit. Now imagine the breath of God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Could this miracle of all miracles actually happen to you? Absolutely. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us this promise in the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Listen to the promise he gives us. These are Jesus' words. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling his disciples that the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. It says, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. The Lord Jesus Christ then goes on to reveal God's Holy Spirit to them in the person of himself, when he says these words, But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Whether they realize it or not, Jesus was telling his disciples, The reason you know him is because you know me. I am he who dwelleth with you. He then finishes this scripture with these incredible words, And shall be in you. With this statement, the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically points ahead to the day of Pentecost when he, Jesus, will come and dwell in them in the person of God the Holy Ghost. Now, he confirms this truth in the very next scripture when he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ could have just as rightly said, the Holy Ghost will not leave you comfortless. He will come unto you because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus himself. Therefore, he that knoweth the Lord Jesus Christ knoweth the Holy Ghost. because they are both one and the same supreme being. That is why when speaking of the Holy Spirit of truth, which is God the Holy Ghost, Jesus said to his disciples, "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you." Because he was speaking of himself. He was saying, "I am he. We are one supreme being." Likewise, in the Gospel according to John, in chapter 14, verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ reveals his oneness with the Father when he said to Philip and the rest of his disciples, listen to what Jesus says, listen closely. "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Did you hear what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our salvation, just said to us in this scripture? "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Therefore, he that hath seen the Lord Jesus Christ hath seen the Father, because they are both one in the same supreme being. In these scriptures, you have just heard the mystery of the threefold Godhead. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed his oneness with God, the Holy Ghost, and with God, the Father. The Apostle Paul confirms this truth in his epistle to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 9. When speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Did you hear that? For in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness. In fact, there is a special name the Apostle John was inspired to use on 5 different occasions when describing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Twice in his gospel, twice in his epistles, and once in his revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he used this name. And that name is the Word, capital W-O-R-D. The word, John is describing in the following scriptures are spelled with a capital W, expressing the deity of Almighty God. Now listen very closely as I read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Did you hear what I just read from God's life-giving Word, the Holy Bible? In the beginning was the Word. Who was in the beginning? The Word was in the beginning. And the Word was with God. Who was with God? The Word was with God. The person of the Word was with God. And the Word was God, it says. Who was God? The Word, capital W-O-R-D, was God. I said, the Word was God. This is what the scriptures say. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Astonishing words coming from God's life-giving Word, the Holy Bible. And there's more. The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 14, goes on to say, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Who was made flesh and dwelt among us? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, manifested in the divine person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both God and man. Listen very closely. "In the beginning, the Word was God, thus proving the existence of his divinity. Then the Word was made flesh, thus proving the existence of his humanity." The Word of God became man in the divine person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To further prove his divinity in the deity of the threefold Godhead, I will now read to you from the Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." These three are one. God the Father, God the Word, our Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Ghost. There is no clearer definition of the oneness and the deity of the threefold Godhead found anywhere else in God's life-giving word, the Holy Bible. And by the way, many of the newer versions of the Bible do not have that scripture in it. Why did they take it out? I don't know. But they take the scripture of the threefold Godhead out of it. The New King James and the King James have that scripture in it. These are from the old manuscripts, the majority texts, where they all had it in. The majority of all the texts had that scripture in it. And there are many other differences, which I will not get into now, in different Bible versions. But if you want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, read the authorized version, which comes from the majority text. In our English language, it's called the King James Bible. In closing, I would like to read to you a description of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, taken from the Revelation of John, chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, where it says the following. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is Jesus. Until next time, this is Ralph Christian reminding you that the Bible is not just another book, it's God.